Nominate the youth sports volunteer that you know for the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nomination to KSLSports.com/contest, and then listen every Thursday afternoon to JJ and Alex for the winner. Help us celebrate the efforts of those volunteers making an impact with the Hercules Hero of the Week, and it's sponsored by Hercules Credit Union and Beehive Meals. Just when you thought you had it all.
DJ and PK, it is time to welcome in Tim Lacombe, Utah Jazz radio analyst, former BYU and Utah basketball staff member. Tim's appearance is brought to you by Sphere and Staffing. Are you a business owner? You have better things to do than to job hunt or scramble to find your next great hire. Let Sphere and Staffing and Recruiting do it. Visit Sphere and online at spherian.com/Utah. Tim, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Tom Homo has
It's wonderful. Wonderful. I'm glad you're good.
Tom Homo has a football program to run, and Ryan Smith's buying a hockey team, and Danny Ainge is emotionally invested in BYU, but he's trying to put together a winning basketball team, so I'm figuring that you and Sphere Staffing are the reason that Kevin Young is coming to Provo. Am I right?
Well, it's one of the bigger jobs we've ever staffed. We're thrilled about it. Yeah, I don't think it has anything to do with Spherion, but, man, it's exciting. You know, crazy great news out of the program yesterday. And, you know, it was looking kind of bleak. The things guys were running and transferring. And I think, you know, BYU made a very solid, strong move to really kind of solidify the program. I mean, I know a big part of this was his ability, Kevin's ability and understanding that he wanted to kind of settle down. The NBA, the rigor of that is crazy. And he's got kids 10 and 11, I think. And I heard through the grapevine, you know, more than anything, he was thrilled about the opportunity to be in one place, not travel, you know, to the level that the NBA requires. And, you know, maybe even watch your kids play from time to time. So all that came about. I think the connections have been in place for a long time and the knowledge of one another. But, you know, from a former guy who, you know, it's kind of been on the sidelines for 5 years. I'm really excited to see this and excited to see what Kevin can do, you know, going forward.
What's he need for assistance?
You know, more than anything, I think he needs guys that understand the current lay of the land. I think this is very, very interesting time. My understanding is there's been a major upgrade too in NIL. So I think the scene's set. I think now it's just a matter of finding, you know, a handful of guys that are committed to the same things, understand the lay of the land, like I said, and we'll get out and hustle. You know, some familiarity, obviously, with BYU, some familiarity with the state wouldn't hurt. But, you know, in this day and age, I don't know that that's crazy, crazy important. But I would say get guys on the ground as soon as possible. That'd probably be the thing. I heard through the grapevine yesterday that that Kevin talked to all the guys that are in the program and in the portal and that sort of thing. So I think those things are starting to be solidified. But with him, you know, coaching the rest of the year, he's going to need to have a team on the ground quickly doing things here to get things ready for next year.
Do you know his brother, Justin, recruiting analyst? Is that somebody who's going to provide him with a depth of knowledge of the college game that as a pro coach would be understandably lacking?
It's certainly not going to hurt. And, you know, his brother, Justin, has been involved with Hoop Scene, which is, you know, like you said, it's identifying talent, identifying prospects, been around forever. Certainly won't hurt. And I'm sure, you know, basketball is a really fraternal organization. And you run around with these guys and you know them through the years. So I would assume he's got a handful of guys that he'll lean on in this regard. But your brother being in that part of the business certainly doesn't hurt.
Did you think you'd ever see a day where BYU is paying a basketball coach over $4 million?
Well, I mean, they haven't since I left, so I'm really glad that they've upped it again. I was the highest-paid assistant that nobody knew about. Of course, I'm joking. I'm thrilled about it. I think it's great. I mean, the bottom line is BYU went from kind of mid-major status to the big time in the Big 12, and I think we saw those teams roll through this year and understand what that means, both on the football and basketball side. They're all really well funded. They're all, they put their best foot forward. And I think for years, BYU's, they're always very budget conscious, but the bottom line is the budget just increased a ton and they've got more room. There's more TV money and, you can impact, BYU wants to make an impact on and making sure that people, use that sports for awareness, and you can impact a lot of people through that Big 12. So I think it's money well spent, but I'm excited to see that uptick. I used to talk to Roger Reed all the time, and he would tell me that, as an assistant, I'm making way more money than he ever did as a head coach, and I think that's just the way it works through time. But I'm thrilled that they made that commitment, particularly to such a good dude.
I'm curious how surprised you are by this, because I was talking to you and we were discussing some of the obvious candidates in that, and some of them were communicating with you. And then I was getting up to leave and you said, don't forget to watch for Kevin Young. And just the thought that he was in the NBA and that close to being a head coach made it seem like a huge reach. And I don't think you could know the financial commitment they were going to make to him, and that, makes it less of a huge reach. So how surprised are you by this? He was on your radar. But man, I talked to you a long time, but you did want to say his name before I left the room. So how surprising is all this, the way it's played out?
Well, I think it's really surprising. It's a departure from the way things have been done in the past. But as you say, being kind of somebody that has – I was at BYU 12 years, so I met so many people that came through there, and we interviewed a bunch of the guys who were being talked about, through the years. And so I would just generally get calls saying, hey, have you heard anything? Have you heard anything? And, it's interesting. I had a member of the media called me. I was at lunch on Monday afternoon. I was at Jersey Mike's having a nice Mike's Way Jersey Mike's Italian sub. And my phone rang. It was a member of the media, and they're like, hey, I'm hearing it's Burgess tomorrow at noon. And I had just, that morning talked to Chris and understood that, there hadn't been any kind of major discussions yet. And so just kind of hearing that, like, I knew that they weren't talking to a whole lot of people, but they were talking to somebody. And, we're able to kind of dig it out. But two things. I said, there's two things wrong with that premise. Number one, I don't know that Chris has talked to anybody quite yet. And number two, tomorrow's devotional at BYU, and they would never schedule a press conference on devotional day, which I know because I was there 12 years. And you couldn't schedule games on Tuesdays. Like, Tuesdays are sacred there. So I just knew how important that was. And so anyhow, I just felt like maybe this is the move. I mean, the Big 12 requires, I thought about it, how humbling it would be for a guy who'd never coached a game to take the court and look down the sideline and see Bill Self, to see Kelvin Sampson. I mean, you're in the big boy club. And so I think BYU needed to go out and hire, a guy who could handle that. And certainly the highest paid NBA assistant. And you say, man, the bottom line is they made a commitment to him for a long time, and they made him an offer that he certainly is making more here than he would there. So I think all those things, they made a full court press at him. And I think, I've heard that he may have turned down the Nets job even, that's how serious he is about this thing. So, surprise across the board, but man, excited about it too.
Recruiting obviously is a big, big deal, and that's how you get the talent. How much difference do you think it could make when he goes into homes and says, I've been in the NBA, I've coached Booker, Durant, blah, blah, blah?
Well, I've seen it, I've seen it with guys that played, and they can use that. But I think the immediacy and the current nature of the game and how Kevin's so familiar with it and can talk about guys that are relevant to this generation, I think it's going to make a big difference. And when you start digging into it and you hear people talk about him, James Johnson, the GM, yesterday, Frank Vogel, the coach, some of the players' comments, about how they're excited but bummed. He's a guy that's really well-liked and has the respect of all those guys. So basketball's, you know, the pinnacle of basketball here is the NBA. Everybody talks about it. Everybody wants to play in it. So I think the more you understand it, the more you understand how it works, you know, it's better for you. And Kevin will have, you know, he doesn't have to lean on anybody else's knowledge. He can tell them straight up. I know the coaching side. I know the business side. I know, you know, I can tell you stories about how guys' journeys were, and to have that intimacy with the game is really going to be helpful.
Where do you think the NIL pool is now? It feels like a moving target off the numbers I'm hearing.
I would say it's healthy. You know, I mean, a couple million bucks a year, you know, that I think they could have access to if they find the right guys. And the other thing I really hope, too, is that, you know, I think over the last couple of years, we've understood that there's lots of ways to do it at BYU, but I think this last year and the success that was had is indicative that at BYU, you want to get the best guys that want to be there first and foremost. You want to build your base with guys that grew up thinking about BYU, and then you go find, you know, five or six guys, four guys, Jackson Robinson's, you know, the big kid from Purdue, Harms. You know, you find guys to bring in. For us, it was guys like Charles Abua, Mike Lloyd, and Lamont Morgan, and, you know. So don't lose track of the fact it's BYU, and lean into the fact that it's unique, because I think in this day and age, getting older together with the portal is going to be near impossible. And if BYU can lean into that and recruit guys that want to be here, keep them here, I think that's going to really, you know, it's going to be a good thing for them.
You happy not to have to talk about the Jazz for another week? This is working out pretty well, don't you think?
Well, it's actually, I'm excited to talk about the Jazz now because we got through the pain. And, you know, it's just like anything. A rebuild is kind of like surgery, and you got to go in from time to time and have some things scoped, and you got to have, and that's all painful. And that's what the last part of the season was. It was like a very painful stint of 20 something games, but the bottom line is we're through it. And it was only painful because most people look at wins and losses, and there's way more going on than wins and losses. I watched Colin Sexton find himself this year. I watched John Collins struggle in the beginning to find his place. And I watched Will Hardy, you know, struggle to find the rotation that John could really function in. The thing that stands out to me is both those guys turned the corner. I mean, Colin became a much more efficient player, understands how to play, always had the push, but now has the pull, which is a really important aspect. And then, of course, Collins, they moved him to the five, and he had an advantage. He had a spatial advantage. He could be out on the perimeter. The big guy can't be both places, and he started to get clean looks from three and knock him down. He shot a good percentage, 35% this year, last year 29%, found himself. So there's those two things, and then these three young rookies, their journey was awesome. And I honestly, I'm a talent evaluator. That's what I did for my career. I was in love with Taylor Hendricks on film in the draft process. I loved his maturity this year in just leaning into the hard stuff, going down to the G League, making the best of it. Same with Sensabaugh, who's a real bucket. He can really score, but Danny said it yesterday. He does more than that. He passes, he rebounds, he understands the nuance. And then obviously the Keontae got a ton of games playing a position that he never really had to lean in and play that much. And he's more of a wing guy. So I think the lessons he learned about what you've got to do on a night to night basis in this league, all these things are going to pay dividends, but just like rehab, you know, it's not going to be for 6 or 8 months. Got to rehab this pain, this knee from the season, you add to it. And I'm excited about it. So I think, again, there's a lot of ways to look at the Jazz, but the way I look at it is I watched them tear this building down to studs, and I'm watching them add on to it, and I'm walking it frequently, and I can see some real positive change.
Tim, we will talk to you again next week. We'll talk some NBA playoffs when we do that. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, you bet. Love you guys. See ya.
Tim Lacombe, Utah Jazz radio analyst and former BYU and Utah basketball staff member. We're going to take a break. When we come back, everything you missed in this show, we will get you up to date. The playoffs, the matchups are getting set. The Lakers and the champs. We'll get to all that coming up. Stay with us.
This is